All right, welcome everybody. You have joined us for the Impact Investment Forum. My name is Heather Dreeves. I'm the Director of Funding, and I'm lucky enough to have my associate with me, Eric Bergman, Investor Relations.
Good morning, everybody. Glad to be here. It's summertime. Hope you had a good 4th of July, and we are excited to talk about retirement, your retirement, and how to boost your retirement income.
Yeah, which is interesting because I just spent a week off, which was wonderful, with my family at the lake, which actually got my wheels rolling about retirement. As Eric says, I'm not far off from retiring. My husband just turned 50. Unfortunately, we have two kids in college, so I'm a little farther off than he thinks. But definitely got me thinking that sitting at the lake on the dock, I could get very used to. So it's kind of ironic that we're talking about this today.
It is. And it's a subject that's relevant to everybody. You know, everybody has that fear of getting into a retirement phase, a post-retirement phase, and outliving their money. And what can you do to plan for it? You know, what types of things erode that income once we're in a retirement phase? So we're going to try to touch on some of that stuff today and just maybe throw some statistics out at you that you weren't already aware of. And we're also going to touch on what we can do as a firm and from a product standpoint to help you maximize that retirement income that you're looking for.
Absolutely. We'll also touch base a little bit on some actual, for lack of better terms, case studies, some of our clients that are in retirement age and have been very successful at creating income for themselves and not having to actually touch their principal. So,
yeah. So we'll just start with a very quick market update. You know, the markets are touching all-time highs again today. The S&P crossed 3,000 intraday. The markets are very much reacting or acting based off of what the Fed does with interest rates. Will they cut? How much will they cut? How many cuts will there be? Also, the same China trade deal that's been looming for months now is also weighing heavily on the market volatility. So we'll keep you updated as that continues to progress. But as of now, that's about it as far as that goes. So why don't we just kind of jump into to some of the bullet points, Heather? Let's start with, at what age are people retiring today? This is such a subjective question, right? It's going to be different for everybody, but let's just hit you with a stat. So according to Gallup, the average age people think they'll retire is 66 years old. However, the average age of retirement is 63.
That's interesting.
It is a little, it's funny to think about. So people are planning to retire later, but actually when it's all said and done, they're retiring earlier than they had originally anticipated. They just find a way, or maybe there was some sort of an inheritance or something happened that allowed them to call it quits earlier. So I thought that was pretty.
That's really interesting. Yeah. I think honestly, a lot of the clients that I've came in touch with over the years, one of the things that is a common theme probably in the last 5 or 6 years is people taking a little bit more control of their money and not just putting it with an investment advisor, looking at alternative investments, and giving them the ability to create some more income, you know, and that might be a direct effect of people retiring a little bit earlier.
It is. And I think just to piggyback on that, there's a stat that came out that said less than 10% of companies in the private sector offer a pension plan. Okay, this is down, as most of you know, most of our listeners know, down substantially from you know, 15, 20, 25 years ago. So the private sector has essentially forced the worker or the employee to take ownership of their own planning. Your company most likely is not going to do it for you any longer. And that has forced people to rethink their strategy. And as you said, take more control and look outside of the traditional stocks, bonds, combination, and find alternative investments where the investor has more control and can potentially get a higher yield. So number two, how much in assets does one need before retiring? Again, I mean, very subjective.
Yeah.
You know, if you live in Newport Beach, California, or if you live in Manhattan, obviously you're going to need quite a bit more than someone that lives maybe in the interior of the country. But with that said, here's some stats for you. The average retirement savings. Now, this is I was blown away when I read this. The average retirement savings as of 2018 for workers between the ages of 32 and 61 is only $95,776.
Wow.
Could you live off of that?
No.
No, neither could I. I'm not going to say it's unfortunate because it is what it is, but I definitely couldn't call it quits with that in the bank.
Well, I think that's probably also a direct effect of what you were talking about earlier, the lack of pensions anymore, you know, so it does require a person to be disciplined and diligent about saving or investing. You know, I know my husband and I are looking at right now creating a rental portfolio just for that reason, for retirement. So, you know, I think it requires people to take ownership of some of that type of stuff.
And you and your husband aren't even having to use a whole lot of your own capital to make that rental portfolio happen.
Correct.
And that's probably going to be a podcast for another day. Mm-hmm. But you don't always have to have this massive lump of capital readily available to grow your net worth. You just gotta get educated and just go for it.
Yeah.
Just do it, really.
Yeah, I think honestly it's pulling the trigger that's the scariest part of it.
Right, because you're gonna have a monthly payment, right? You need to get a renter in there, yada, yada, yada. And I don't wanna digress too much in a different direction, but it's not like you have to come to the table with several $100,000 to get a real estate portfolio moving. So there's that. The average retiree will have to cover, and this is pretty intense, the average retiree will have to cover $280,000 in healthcare costs in retirement. So let's just go back. So the average amount of savings is $95,776, but the average retiree will face $280,000 in healthcare costs. So obviously there's some insurance and Medicare and Medicaid and things like that that are going to help with those medical expenses, but that's a huge difference in what is saved and what you can anticipate facing in the form of, that would be an eroding factor on your retirement income, obviously.
Scary.
That is pretty scary. Just to piggyback on the healthcare portion, the average annual out-of-pocket expense for a retiree from a healthcare expense is $4,300. So that's something to factor in. And then the average amount spent on living expenses in a post-retirement phase is $46,000. So the $95,776
is not going to last long.
Not going to last long.
No. I know that I was talking with my mother-in-law who was in town last week, and she is actually living off of the interest out of her IRA account right now, taking her distributions and hoping that she doesn't have to touch the principal. So she's got it in some different types of things and is considering some of our alternative investments to boost her yields a little bit.
Right.
Because it's not enough.
It's not enough. And how do you know? I mean, how many conversations have we had in the office? How much do you need? How much do you need? Oh, I need a million. I need 1.5 million. I need 5 million. Whatever. It's just a number that we're throwing out there. How many people have actually sat down, Excel spreadsheet, QuickBooks, doesn't matter. This is exactly what I spend. This is what I anticipate spending in a post-retirement phase. And really breaking it down and planning for what that number needs to be. Mm-hmm. We're not financial planners. This isn't an advisory firm. A lot of you probably work with a financial planner, but the ones that don't, we strongly encourage that you do. And there's plenty of tools online if you don't want to, where you could do it yourself.
Yeah. Most of the clients that I'm dealing with are of the retired age. However, I'm starting to see a little bit younger clientele come into this because I think people are trying to take a little more ownership. They're looking at alternative investments through their self-directed IRAs and 401ks, which is a great opportunity to grow your IRAs. I mean, people are always looking for places to put money tax deferred, but they also want to grow it. So a lot of people have taken the opportunity to use self-directed IRA custodians, and we can give you some contacts for that if that's something that interests you. You know, that brings in a little bit younger generation that are starting to think about these things and looking at ways to grow their portfolio and their net assets. But a lot of the clients that are of the retired age, you know, have been smart with their money. They've been real estate investors. They've owned rentals. You know, I have a couple here locally. I think at one time when they retired, they had 15 rentals, and then they sold them all off, owned them free and clear. A lot of them they own through their IRAs, and they have invested with me for the last 15 years through their IRA, and they live purely off the interest that they yield. They have not touched the principal, and they each have, honestly, probably over $1 million in each of their IRAs at this time. So pretty good legacy to set up for their kids, not only to allow them to travel all over the world. They're constantly, they have a goal to travel to every state. And then they've also traveled out of country quite a bit, all on their interest.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that because when my sister and I were growing up, my parents always said, don't expect anything. We're not saving anything for you. There will be no inheritance. We're going to spend our last dollar, our last day.
Yeah.
And, you know, fast forward, what, 35, 40 years, and their thought process behind it has changed. And now they do want to leave a legacy for my sister and I, which isn't necessary. But it's funny how parents can kind of, shift over the years.
Right.
and what's important to them or what they think is going to be important to them actually changes at some point along the way. So you got to ask yourself, how important is it to leave a legacy to your kids? And if that is important to you, how much is it going to be? And what amount do you need to save? And then will you be able to get a high enough yield off of the principal amount to sustain your own quality of life in a post-retirement phase, and then leave that principal amount to your kid or your kids, or maybe you are planning on just spending every dollar every day. I don't know, but you want to find a yield that fits for what you're trying to do. So if you can go get a riskless yield in a treasury bond, the 2-year treasury bond's paying 2%. If you only need 2%, well, great, there you go. It's riskless and you're going to get your 2, and you know your principal is going to be safe. Most people need higher yields than 2%. In this yield curve environment with interest rates as low as they are, it's extremely difficult to find high yield without taking on an inordinate amount of risk. Which is what our value proposition as managers is to provide a risk-adjusted return to our investors, meaning our high yield fund averages 11.6% annually since inception, right? So if we know the risk-free rate of return is 2% and our average is 12, the premium is 10%. Well, we're only taking on a fraction amount of volatility to get that additional 10% in premium. And that's what you would consider a very attractive risk-adjusted return. So, and that's the beautiful thing about what we do.
Yeah.
And I think that's why our customers stick with us through the years, is because where else can you get this yield with this amount of volatility?
Right, right. And if you're anybody that has any type of real estate background, the types of opportunities that we offer are very attractive. And let's talk a little bit about the different opportunities that we have to deploy capital. One is through what we call first lien trust deeds, or one-off notes, we refer to them often. And I'll show you a few of those at the end of the presentation. But these are all first lien notes. They're backed by real estate. These are notes that we originate, so we're not selling anybody's notes. These are our own notes that we originate, we underwrite, we do a thorough due diligence process on. We close them first, so we feel confident enough about the deal that if we don't sell it, we're going to hold it in our own portfolio. But these are all first lien notes with at least 30% equity. Mm-hmm. So we don't exceed a 70% loan to value. And I think that's the key to it. It's not a perfect scenario. There are loans that go in default and people that don't pay. But what I can tell you is there's equity in these. And, it's more often than not that if a loan defaults, most borrowers are very motivated to do something to pay the loan off, even if they get a little bit behind, because they have a huge equity stake mm-hmm. in it. They know if they walk away from this note, they're also walking away from a potential profit.
Right.
We also service all these notes internally for you. I think that's something that sets us aside. We're not just selling you a note and wishing you luck and sending you down the road. We actually service the notes here. We have a vested interest in them paying. We keep an interest spread on them. So it's as important for us for those notes to pay as it is for our lenders. The second opportunity is through our fund. Currently, we have one fund open, but hopefully we will have news to give you very soon that we have another. But we have a fund, a real estate fund, and there's two types of assets that we close through there. One is the origination of our notes. So the notes I just spoke about, we close through our fund. And then also local real estate assets. You know, I think that's something else that sets us aside. We practice what we preach. We're out there in the real estate market, in our local market, at auction every single week buying real estate. We have our own contracting crew on staff that actually goes in and rehabs these properties. And then the profit from those real estate transactions actually go right back into the fund. So, you know, really, they're the same asset, the notes compared to the fund. It just depends on how passive you want to be.
Sure.
If you want somewhere to park your cash and earn higher yields, and Eric mentioned, on average, we're yielding about 12% annualized. The fund is a great option. It's extremely passive. You get your quarterly payouts, you get your quarterly reports. You don't have to worry about foreclosing or dealing with defaulted notes. Now, if you're an active real estate investor and you're looking at the upside, hey, if I did take this property back, I could earn higher yields. Notes pay about 9 to 11% right now, but there's also potential for upside if you do have to take a property back, then the notes might be a better option for you.
Yeah, and I think we've probably said this before, but what sets us apart from the private lending community competition, if you will, is our relationship with our borrowers. We run an incredible real estate education component of the firm. So we know these borrowers, we have existing relationships with them. They are repeat borrowers. They have proven themselves. I should say the majority of them have proven themselves to be successful. And if you are going to be a note buyer, it is extremely beneficial to you to know that, hey, this firm knows this borrower. They've done business with this borrower on several occasions. The borrower has never been late, or the borrower has never defaulted, or whatever the case is. Having that intel is something you're most likely not going to get from anyone else in this space. They're going to say, hey, look, we got a borrower for you. All we know is their name. Do you want it or not?
Yeah.
It pays 9%. Are you in or are you out? We can tell you so much more about that borrower. And that's the alpha, right? That's the premium. That's our value proposition above and beyond what people do in our space.
Well, and I also think it says a lot that we actually originate the note first and then sell it. We're not just coordinating, hey, we've got a borrower. Here's the property. Are you in or out? We're closing the loan. We feel confident enough about the deal. Every deal that we close, hey, we might potentially just keep it in our portfolio. Right now, we have more note buyers than we have notes. I mean, it's a constant balance, right? We either have, you know, more notes and we just close them through the fund, or we're selling the notes. But yeah, I mean, I think that speaks a lot to who we are and what we do, the fact that we, you know, actually originate it and then sell it. The underwriting process is very thorough. And if you're a broker or borrower on this webinar, you can probably attest to that. You know, we aren't just funding anything. We do a thorough due diligence on the borrower, on the property. If there's rehab involved, we want to see contractors, bids, licenses. And we provide this all to you as a note buyer before making a decision if you want to fund the note.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it just really boils down to a couple things, whether you want to be passive or you want to be more involved in the note buying process. And then also if you're accredited or not. Right now, our fund does require you to be accredited to go into it. And so we would have to have evidence of that. But either are wide open right now. You can always visit our website at securedinvestmentcorp.com. We have all of our notes up for sale on there, and then also some information about our fund.
Yeah. And I think Heather was going to go into some specific examples of some products that we have online right now available for investment. But before she does that, I just wanted to just to backtrack for a second and make a point. When I was running my advisory business, one tool that we used for clients that, you know, we're trying to evaluate, hey, am I going to outlive my money, or is my money going to outlive me? And you know, they had no clue. So from a financial planning standpoint, there's a tool out there that some of you may or may not have heard of called the Monte Carlo Analysis. This has been, while it obviously can't predict the future, it can give you a very good indication of whether or not you're on the right track or not. What the Monte Carlo Analysis does is it runs tens of thousands of simulations, taking into account market performance, inflation, taxes, health issues, you name it, it factors it in. And essentially at the end, what it does is it gives you a probability by way of a percentage of whether or not this model sees you outliving your money or sees your money outliving you. Again, it's called the Monte Carlo Analysis. If you work with a financial planner or a financial advisor, I'm sure they could get you hooked up with it if they haven't already. And it's also available online for free. There's quite a bit of data that needs to be entered for it to be precise, but I highly recommend for all of you out there that are listening that say, I have no clue if I am on the right track for my money to outlive me, look into it. It's called the Monte Carlo Analysis.
I wrote that down, so I hope you guys all took note of that also. All right, well, we're going to go over a few notes that we have available for funding right now. So I hope you guys are still all on and attending. Hopefully you guys are all seeing this. Okay, so the first one we've got here is a loan in Des Moines. This is a single family residence. It's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath. It is about 1,400 square feet. This was a purchase transaction. So our loan amount is $129,500, so $129,500. So if you're wanting to fund a note, you do have to fund the whole note. We don't sell any fractional interest in notes. We're not a securities dealer. Purchase price on this property was $195,000. Now, this property doesn't need a whole lot of rehab, but we did identify a few items that needed to be fixed. So we actually held back $6,655, really just cosmetic items. However, we have an ARV appraised value of $185,000. So this is what I'm talking about. This is a huge equity play. Very unlikely that this borrower is going to walk away from a loan for $129,500 when they potentially have $185,000 upside to it.
It's probably not going to happen.
Very unlikely. So our loan to value on this is 70%. Now, our rate of return, if you were a note buyer to sell this, is 11%. This is an annualized return on this note, and this is going to be a 12-month note. Now, these notes can pay off early. It doesn't mean that there's a guarantee that you're going to get 12 months of interest. Borrowers can pay off at any time. So I just like to point that out because I do get some lenders from time to time calling, you know, do I get a guaranteed 12 months of interest? That's not the case. We want this to be a win-win for our borrowers and our lenders. And if someone gets out of our loan early, sells the property, finds cheaper financing, great for them, because the thing is they're going to come back to us. And those are the kind of repeat borrowers we want to come back to us. So we're not going to penalize them. Now, the other big highlight of this deal is this borrower put down $89,000. This is a very risk-averse loan,
in
my opinion.
This is a primo note.
This is a really good note. It needs very minimal rehab. You can kind of see by the pictures, it's really just cosmetic items. We're going to go and update some things. And the other big highlight of this is a student that went through our Leonardo system of real estate. So Eric touched base on this. We also have an education company. This is actually somebody that successfully went through our master program. And, you know, in our opinion, people that go through those programs, which are very high level, are more likely to be successful. So, yeah. So that is the first loan I've got. So if you guys do have any interest in this, we have a full loan package on this. Get a hold of me. You can email me at funding@securedinvestmentcorp.com and we'll get you the full loan package on it. All right, next one I've got is out of Atlanta, Georgia. Single family residence. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. It's about 1,500 square feet. This was also a purchase transaction. This is also a student of ours and a repeat borrower. Loan amount is $172,000. The purchase price was $110,000. And then we also held back about $46,000 for rehab. So they're doing some more extensive rehab to this property, and you'll see some pictures coming up here. Rate of return is 10%, and this is another 12-month note. So again, this is a repeat borrower, a student of ours. They've got experience at investing and rehabbing. They have fairly good financials. And we have already released 2 draws. So we've released about $14,000 in draws. And you can kind of see by the pictures, they've started the exterior work. There was some siding that needed to be replaced, and they're adding on an additional room. So they're getting to town on this project, but we do still have a remaining $32,000 in rehab. And just so that everybody's aware, when we hold back rehab funds, we disperse those according to a draw schedule that's set up before we even close the loan. So we clearly identify in underwriting, okay, this is your plan. Here's your contractor's bid. We're going to put this in 3 or 4 draws. It kind of depends on how much the total loan or total rehab amount is that we're holding back in regards to how many draws we disperse. But we try to give them something that they can work with, because the thing is that they have to actually front the money for the rehab. And then we go out and inspect it, make sure the work's been done, and then we will reimburse them. So if it's a $100,000 rehab budget and we only give them 2 draws, that's a lot of money to front. So we may break that down into 5 draws. This one, we actually have about $32,000, a little over that, still held back, and they are continuing on the project. So another good loan. And then the third one I've got is a property out of Crescent City, California. And I'm really surprised this loan's still around because this guy did a wonderful job rehabbing this. He's actually already finished it. I think he finished it in like under 30 days.
Wow.
I think the big kicker on this is it is a manufactured home, but it's real property. Title's been eliminated. There's some really nice manufactured homes out there. And it's a great property. So this was a purchase transaction. Our loan amount is $116,000. Purchase price was $72,000. They brought in about $7,000 and some change, so they do have some skin in this transaction. We held back $29,994 in rehab funds, which we've already dispersed. You can see by the pictures they've completed it. And we have an LTV of 55%, and we have the wrong appraised value on there. I believe it was actually about $175,000.
Nice.
So he's got quite a bit of equity in this. Rate of return is 10%, and this was another 12-month note. Another student. We've had a ton of students lately. And just so that everybody knows, we don't just lend to our students. Obviously, we would love for all of our students to come to us to get their funding. But we will take retail borrowers. But it's exciting to me to see our students come through the cycle because that tells me they're being successful and that the education is paying off. This borrower is also a contractor. He has great credit. Again, this is a performing loan. He's already made three payments, so he
And that one pays how much, Heather?
That one's 10%.
Okay. So what else out there is what else out there is going to pay 10%? You know, can the market go higher by 10%? I mean, I guess potentially it could. It's going to be a bumpy ride. You're not going to get 10% in the bond market. You know, commodities, things like that. So I think as an investment community, we're all fairly yield starved outside of this real estate space. So for those of you that are new and maybe are new to private lending, or you want to be a real estate investor, but you just don't have the time to be a real estate investor, we strongly encourage you to look into private lending, mainly because it's backed by tangible physical possessions, and the yields are incredibly attractive. I mean, you said it was 10%?
10% backed by a first lien against the property with 45% equity.
And 45% equity and just brand new, just newly remodeled.
Yep.
So that's a win-win position right there.
And we have other notes. I just highlighted a few of them just to kind of give you guys a taste for it. If you're interested, go to our website at securedinvestmentcorp.com. Click on lending opportunities. All of our notes are on there. You can actually inquire about them and we'll get a message right away and we can send you the full loan package.
Right.
Those loan packages are very thorough. It's going to include all the information about the borrower, credit, all of those types of items, and also to include appraisals, contractors, bids, things of that nature. So you can do your due diligence to make a decision if you want to.
Yeah, and please call us at 1-800-898-2717. Again, it's 1-800-898-2717. We'd love to speak with you. We'd love to have you in the office or take you to lunch, tell you more about what we do. And you know, see if we can't earn your business.
Absolutely. On another note, we just finished out quarter two. Our fund had an amazing quarter. Accounting is finishing up the numbers. So if you are an investor that's interested in potentially deploying some capital through the fund, I will have current fund reports for quarter two next week. And we'd be more than happy to share those with you. We had a huge quarter. We had some really big wins on some real estate assets that we bought and sold. We also had some great performing notes that we held through the portfolio. So on the 15th is when those quarterly reports come out. So if you're interested in the fund, let me know, or Eric know, and we can get you that info.
Love it.
Yeah. So until next time, thanks for attending, and let Eric or myself know if we can help you with anything.
All right. We'll see you next month.